creators of Relevant Magazine, this is The Relevant Podcast. And I broke out.
It's Friday, November 16th, 2018, and it's The Relevant Podcast. I'm your host, Cameron Strang, and this week's episode is brought to you by Bright Peak. Hey, do the holidays differently this year. You can avoid being broke and stressed out this Christmas season with Bright Peak's free Holiday Survival Guide resource. It gives you five simple steps to tackle the holiday financial stress differently. You'll get tools to make a plan to take control of your holiday spending, align with your partner on your holiday game plan, avoid Black Friday and Cyber Monday temptation, because it's real. You'll get tools to save extra money and stay on track with your spending. It's an amazing free resource, and it's available for you right now if you go to relevantmagazine.com/loveandmoney. Bright Peak is our partner in our Love and Money section, and that resource, the Holiday Survival Guide, is available for free at relevantmagazine.com/loveandmoney. Well, like I said, I'm your host, Cameron, and here with me in our Orlando studios, ringing in the holiday season, my brother on the ones and twos, Chandler Strang.
Hello.
On the Skype line from Nashville, Tennessee, Tyler Huckabee.
Hey, everybody.
Down the street, also in Nashville, author, speaker, podcaster, cowgirl extraordinaire, Annie F. Downs.
Good morning, gents.
And folks, this is a big deal. I'm just saying two things real quick. I've been podcasting for over 13 years. I can count on zero fingers how many episodes I've done without Jesse Carey. Jesse Carey is out on vacation this week. He is not joining us. Guess who's sitting in for the show? Our long-lost friend from Gainesville, Florida, Big Cat Eddie Koffeltz.
Bring the fatted calf. He was lost and is found. It is good to hear your voices. And per
Christmas
my writer,
in November.
Yes. But let's talk about, well, you know, it's your show. But we got stuff to talk about. Let's talk about Christmas, Annie.
Yeah.
Generally, as a general rule, when do you feel like it is appropriate to decorate your house for Christmas? I would say very clearly it's the day after Thanksgiving.
Oh,
and
okay.
You?
I would say whenever you want.
See, Annie, what the listener doesn't know is we're seeing on the Skype camera, Annie is broadcasting from what looks like maybe her living room or dining room.
Looks like the North Pole, by my estimation.
By my watch, there are at least five Christmas trees in this one camera view.
That is not true. It's four. And three of them are very small table decor. Uh-huh. One of them is a real tree. But listen, to be fair, do the math with me. I'm out of town 3 days for Thanksgiving. I'm out of town 10 days in December. So I feel like that gives me an extra 13 days in my own home, which would have equaled out to last Saturday.
Annie, let me ask you this. During the opening, when we were hearing about our friends at Bright Peak, who have put together a very helpful resource for people who want to decorate their homes without breaking the bank, don't want to be stressed about Christmas, did you think to yourself, I wish I had known this existed yesterday?
Ask me how many dollars I spent on buying this year.
No, this year.
Zero.
Okay, but how
this year?
This is all my stuff.
You spent $19,000 last year. You're still
paying it off.
Wallowing in debt. I mean, it's just disturbing.
I have zero debt.
One thing Bright Peak will teach you is that it's a long-term thing. It's not just the little things here and there today and yesterday doesn't matter. It's about a long-term financial plan, Annie. Wow. I'd love to sit down with you, go over some of their resources with you sometime this week, except for I can't get into your home because it's blocked by five Christmas trees.
And I would just like to say in closing, to quote Tyler Huckabee from before the show, it looks exactly like a mall Christmas display. So
it really does.
Y'all's jealousy is showing so hard, and I receive it. I get it.
Hard.
My house is beautiful, and you're jealous, and I get it. You guys, you can too. Decorate your trees as early as you want.
Last night, I'm driving to dinner on the phone, a speakerphone with a friend, and we're talking about this weekend, and the friend said that they're going to get their Christmas tree on Saturday. Yeah. And my son, 9-year-old son, looked at me with this incredulous look on his face and went, why? And I was like, because I guess it's like, you know, close to Thanksgiving. Some people are just proactive. And he's like, no, this is way too early. We just had Halloween.
Okay, tell him, Cameron, because I like being friends with Cohen. Don't tell him that I'm already Christmased.
Yeah, it will change his view of you.
I know. I don't want that.
It is. But it's also, it is so clear. This is just one of those times in life when it is very clear. Like when you're supposed to do something, because everything else we got to kind of guess. No. But no.
But
when
my math, Eddie, my math is right.
Your math is flawed. When Santa shows up at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, you may begin.
God, it's the biggest moment of the year, isn't it? It is the biggest moment of the year.
But a moment before that, and this is biblical, a moment before that is blasphemy.
That's right.
So
no.
You're disgracing, you're just overlooking the pilgrims. You're overlooking gratitude if you skip over Thanksgiving like that.
You don't know that the pilgrims can't be here as well.
The Native Americans.
Yeah. The pilgrims did some great work.
From your entire holiday narrative.
Yeah.
No, I put them up before Halloween, again, doing the math of backing up by 13 days.
Right. She has had a cornucopia up since Easter.
Yeah. Here in East Nashville, Liz and I were walking down to a restaurant spot, and we walk by where they have the East Nashville like Christmas tree farm, where they bring out, there's a school over here, then the big schoolyard, they bring out all the Christmas trees, and it's already up. And as they're setting it all up, Liz, we're across the street, Liz screams at them, "You guys just left!"
Cameron, this is your first Christmas in your new house, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it is for me too. And I was kind of having I'm not trying to get serious here. I know better than with you yahoos, but I was kind of having a hard time feeling at home here because
wrap it up.
I know.
Come on, get to it.
I knew when I started that I was going to get roasted to death for this. But the other reason I went ahead and did it is I want to feel more at home in my home, and I have a lot of time off the road this month. And so I wanted to go ahead and start making more memories in my house. Everybody just roast me. Ready? Go.
No, world's tiniest violin playing over here.
Next up. Keep going. Everybody.
You're winning me over.
Give it to me.
Cameron, keep it rolling.
We have a great show in store for you today. Today, there's a movie coming out, Instant Family, starring Mark Wahlberg. Guess who's on the show today? Mr. Marky Mark. Mark Wahlberg is joining us. We couldn't get in track. We couldn't track down the Funky Bunch. They might be dead. We don't know. But Mark Wahlberg.
Not for lack of effort.
Mark Wahlberg is here. I assume.
Are you doing a live interview from Wahlburger down the street?
You know, the Wahlburgers, if you ever go to a Wahlburgers, it's just a normal, hamburger joint, except in the menu, it's like Donnie's favorite, Mark's favorite, whatever. And I'm like, this thing should be dripping with, Wahlberg stuff, right? Well, then you go down the hallway to the bathroom, and that's where all the movie posters are.
Really?
That's where they shove all of Mark's movie posters is in the bathroom hallway.
But I wonder if that was in the contract. Like, they had to negotiate it. Like, Mark wanted it everywhere.
Yeah.
Outside, on the windows, on the outside, like as you're
Fridays.
Walking in.
Yeah, just dripping with Mark Wahlberg, memorabilia. Yeah, yeah.
And Donnie talked him down to the bathroom.
Right, mm-hmm. And stills of Donnie from The Sixth Sense, just terrifyingly covering the bathroom walls.
Gosh, he is so scary in The Sixth Sense. Totally. He is really scary.
Yeah.
But he was more scary when I saw New Kids on the Block live last year, and they were living their dreams. That was terrifying. Have y'all seen them live as grown-ups?
No.
No.
Why would I mean, not. I've seen them in photographs.
I hear you. I'm just saying. It was a lot. So I have two scary episodes with Donnie Wahlberg.
Why? Did you buy tickets? Like, you went on purpose?
Yeah, with my real American dollars. That's right. I thought it'd be great. But the problem is, they think everyone's there because we think they're hot and want to date them and things.
Dear Lord.
You're there for nostalgia.
Up.
You're there.
What are you there? The art?
I'm there because it's funny. I'm there because you're like, oh my gosh, I love. I miss Jesse.
How's it going?
I do think that New Kids weren't really thinking when they came up with the name. They weren't thinking long term.
They didn't
see this going. They saw this being like a year long thing, year long career.
I had the exact same conversation with JD from Hillsong United about Hillsong Young and Free. I was give them a shelf life?
Behind the scenes, they are
legitimately talking about that. Like, what do we do? Because we have some Young and Free members who are 30 now. Some of them are still in their early 20s, but, the youth group leaders are now older. And so they're saying, they're talking about, like, should Hillsong Young and Free just be the youth band or brand? And like, they have a revolving cast forever.
Yeah,
and
then, I feel like that makes sense.
And then like,
that would
it
be
just,
a good idea.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I think too. I was very encouraging of that strategy.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Like Hillsong investing in a Roth IRA. that would be the new band. Just something that really signifies 30.
Hillsong looking for a controlled rent place in New York City.
Yeah. Hillsong decorating for Christmas in early November.
Yeah. Listen, that Hillsong. Would be an honor.
Let's just watch some Netflix. That'd
be nice. We need to go out tonight. Hillsong.
And Free. That would be their name.
And Free. And Free.
Hillsong, Netflix, and Free is a pretty good. There's something there.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that's hey, so Eddie, you're here filling in for Jesse. Those are big shoes to fill, man.
Impossibly big shoes to fill.
You're stepping up. Yeah. How have you been? How's life in Gainesville? We've missed you. And for all of you who have tweeted those things, it's not a we miss Eddie and therefore don't like. I just, there's no divide here. We all miss Eddie. Can we all just say that? Eddie, we're so happy you're back. How are things? Okay. How's the family?
Yeah, and I'm going to just say behind the scenes, this is all a lie. There is some very salacious stuff, and I would continue on social media to poke around for it. You're going to uncover the truth. The truth is, life is pretty busy here in Gainesville. Brianne is doing great in law school, and the kids are in school, and we're just kind of holding it down up here. But it's good. Gainesville, pretty quiet city. Pretty quiet. Like, it's
except
like
on Saturdays.
Yeah, on Saturdays it's fun. Sometimes it's fun. Not so much fun if we're like playing Missouri or something. But you know, it's all right.
Oh, it was awesome yeah. to watch.
So, but yeah, doing good up here. And also, a part of this has been I mean, Cameron, do you mind if I talk about some behind the scenes contract stuff? Yeah.
Yeah.
In my new writer, I won't appear on a show with Jesse anymore. Right. So
I didn't want to say that. I thought people could just infer that, but yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I just won't be where he is. So if he's just not going to be on the show, he's on vacation for a couple weeks, happy to be here. If he's back on, well, then you just are stuck with Ask Jesse and whatever terrible things he's doing.
And listeners hearing this are probably going to assume that when Eddie says all this, that just means that him and Jesse have sort of an acrimonious relationship.
No.
And they do. And I think it's really important to stress that it's much worse than you think it is. They truly hate each other.
Yeah. I have never punched a person in the gut before.
Right, in the gut.
I had to. Yeah. With just things went real south. And we all knew it was coming. Right?
Although,
we all
knew Eddie, I got to say, if you were to punch anybody in the gut right now, you'd probably kill them because you're looking very strong.
Oh, I think it's
a lot of muscle.
Thank you. I don't have any responses for that. Well, it's true. Thank you. I feel very strong. I think it's only because you're seeing me mid torso up. I'm scooted down in this chair. If you saw the whole body, you'd be rest assured. I'm still
I'm
in
the arms.
Form.
They look ready. They look taut. I didn't mean it's a weird way to compliment somebody to say you look literally lethal, but you look like you're in deadly good shape.
And you look like you use very good moisturizer on your face. You have wonderfully soft skin.
It's just the cheapest one I can find at Walgreens, but
this is the weirdest. Really nice. Welcome back conversation.
Yeah.
This is
and
very
Cameron
weird.
And I are what? It's like just not pretty? Okay, everybody, serious.
I think
around the horn or don't do it at all.
I think we all know, everybody knows that you could kill Jesse if you wanted to in a New York. Nobody's ever doubted that.
No one's doubted my upper body strength. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Got it.
All right, well, moving the show along, it's time for our look back at what happened this week in culture and entertainment. It's time for...
In case you missed it.
Hey, in case you missed it, this week, Dan Crenshaw and Pete Davidson shared a really touching moment on SNL this past Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we mentioned on last week's show that Saturday Night Live found itself in a controversy when Pete Davidson made fun of former Navy SEAL Dan Crenshaw. In the bit, Pete made fun of the appearance of several midterm election candidates, including Crenshaw, who lost his eye while fighting in Afghanistan. Rightfully so, a joke at the expense of an injured war hero didn't exactly go over well. Well, this week, Pete apologized and then was joined by Dan Crenshaw himself, who not only proved to be a good sport about the whole thing, but had some pretty funny burns for Pete Davidson as well. The crazy thing is the segment ended when Dan was talking about the power of forgiveness, veterans, and why we should look for good in people. Here's a clip.
There's a lot of lessons to learn here. Not just that the left and right can still agree on some things, but also this, Americans can forgive one another. We can remember what brings us together as a country and still see the good in each other. This is Veterans Day weekend, which means that it's a good time for every American to connect with a veteran. Maybe say thanks for your service, But I would actually encourage you to say something else. Tell a veteran, never forget. When you say never forget to a veteran, you are implying that as an American, you are in it with them, not separated by some imaginary barrier between civilians and veterans, but connected together as grateful fellow Americans who will never forget the sacrifices made by veterans past and present, and never forget those we lost on 9/11, heroes like Pete's father. So I'll just say, Pete, never forget.
Never forget. And Matt is from both.
Let me say, can I say something about this? I am a part of the band Hillsong 945 and Asleep on the Sofa. And so I don't see Saturday Night Live anymore. I see it on Sunday. And I have to work really, really hard to not have it spoiled on social media.
Right.
But AFD, you really went to town on this last moment that they shared together. Will you tell everyone how you ruined SNL, but also showed a beautiful moment?
Yeah. Well, when I was watching it, I actually watched it the next morning as well. And when I was watching the full clip at the very end, when Colin Jost is doing like, thank you. And I'm Colin Jost. The microphone picks up Pete Davidson leaning over to Dan Crenshaw and saying, you're a good man. Thank you. Oh, and man. it almost brought tears to my eyes because I thought, man, this guy just coming on, Dan Crenshaw just coming on and being kind really affected Pete Davidson. And you can see it during Dan Crenshaw's like monologue thing. He mentions Pete's father and Pete's face does this like, did y'all see it? Yeah. He does this like blink.
He's like sad. He's a boy who lost his dad at 9/11.
Yeah.
I
mean,
I had no idea that was his story. And it explains a lot about Pete Davidson, you know, honestly.
Yeah, right.
Like, it makes you see him in a new light. Like, more empathy. It's crazy.
Yeah. And I think it's easy to forget that Pete's going through a lot right now with the breakup of, I think everybody agreed that it was sort of an ill-advised engagement. It happened very quickly. But we've all been through breakups. It's very difficult. And it's no fun to be living out your breakup in front of a live studio audience once a week, every night. And for him to continue to come out, he's probably going to I've made some ill-advised comments and mistakes when I've been trying to deal with the breakup. So I'm not surprised that he has said some regrettable things, but I am glad that it provided us with an opportunity to see what was really a very nice moment on a show that doesn't have those very often anymore. So I saw it happen live and Liz and I are both really touched by it.
Yeah. I was also up at 11:50 when it was airing.
I'm sure you were. Were you buying things on Amazon?
He was on his Bright Peak advisor had just called him and said, I just saw
Bright
your activity.
Peak accountability. Yeah.
I have a Bright Peak accountability alert set up that if I get on the Instagram shop now button after 2 a.m., I get a call.
Literally, so. Dave Bright Peak calls you and says, hey, shut down your computer. Shut it down.
Cameron. Sorry. You were going to say something.
I just, I love the touching moments too at the end, but I really enjoyed when Dan Crenshaw's phone rang and it was an Ariana Grande song.
Oh, that was a great joke.
Yeah, that was a good joke.
I thought that was a great joke. I wish we had behind the scenes on how much of that Pete knew was happening and didn't because they have rehearsals, right? So, but there were a couple times
authentic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There were a couple moments. Like, even when
really
he mentioned
authentic.
His dad, like, I don't know that his dad was in the rehearsal. You know?
That's what I thought too, Cameron. Those are the two moments I thought Pete didn't totally know this was going to happen.
Yeah.
And that's why I would like to, in the spirit of that, in the spirit of the holiday season, I want to apologize, Annie, for saying that your house looks like a mall.
You don't.
That was unkind of me, and it was not reflective of the spirit of Christmas, which I try to hold in my heart this time of year and all times of year. So I hope you can forgive me for my insensitivity.
Wow. And I would like to just say, Chandler, when inevitably you blow up your own relationship, I would like to appear on the show and roast you and burn you so hard. I'd like to say that. And I will wear an eye patch during it.
Oh my god.
Can we not say that? I've got one in my drawer. Fine, I don't wear it. Fine. It's
oh my god.
Hey, in case you missed it, this week Pedro the Lion returned with a really emotional Tiny Desk concert. The indie rock legend Dave Bazan hasn't released music under the Pedro the Lion moniker in nearly 14 years. The band's known for being an outlet for Bazan's ongoing journey with faith and doubt. In his lead up to the upcoming release of the album Phoenix, he stopped by the NPR music office for a stripped down performance. Here's a clip.
Remember what it was like, astride that yellow line. First freedom, second life, all the places I could ride. Believe in early packing life, that little ache inside. My kingdom for someone to ride with.
Awesome. I was in the car the other day and I was listening to the indie station and Pedro the Lion came on and I was like, I didn't know there was a new album coming. I was like, whoa. And like, it was like all of a sudden it was 2000 again. It just like it took me back to Cornerstone. It was it was a time capsule. It was awesome.
Do you guys remember when Pedro the Lion back in like the year 2000 released an album called Winners Never Quit, and it was about Christian politicians who have like some seedy scandals going on behind the scenes, but they use their Christian, like positive Christian politics to put up a front and distract people from it. That was almost 20 years ago that
those
Pedro
are the
did
days.
That. He's been ahead of the curve the entire time.
He's been a prophet the whole time, yeah.
David Bazan's been there for me for a long time. And obviously, he's had he's really lived out a very complicated up and down faith journey for all the rest of us to see. And he's been very vocal about where he's at and one step forward, two steps back. But I've always appreciated his authenticity.
Hey, in case you missed it this week, Fear of God founder and designer Jerry Lorenzo and artist John Mayer sat down for a moving conversation about sobriety, creativity, and mental health with Complex. It got deeply personal about their own struggles as creative people and how they've dealt with success and quitting drinking. During the conversation, Jerry frequently references his faith and how God helped him get through some of his darkest chapters. Here's a clip.
I went to one AA meeting. And it was like, hey, my name is Jerry and I'm an alcoholic. And I hated saying it. And that was the last meeting I went to.
Wow.
You know, just because I didn't want to confess that over my life, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
So my way to quit wasn't by going to meetings. I was still able to quit, you know, 3 years next month. But like you said, it's a personal thing.
I am a huge Jerry Lorenzo fan. And John, I got to be honest with you, I'm not musically the biggest John Mayer fan, but that that music video he did,
it's so funny,
of like the mall kiosk thing.
I like it. Instrumentally it's really good. It's a good song.
Yeah, it's a good song.
It just sounds like John Mayer though, you know, when he's singing or whatever,
but. He's like, I the more I see him, like SNL, if there's a hip-hop artist performing on SNL, half the time he's the guitarist in the background, right?
He's just a cool dude.
A pretty cool career.
I'm kind of into it.
I can't remember if it was us talking about this or not, but there are a lot of creatives I know that are quitting drinking. It's a really interesting conversation going on right now of like what it isn't doing for you and what you thought it was doing for you. And was that us? Did we have this conversation?
Nope.
I mean, I talk to y'all for hours every week. I can't imagine it would be anybody else.
I don't recall this conversation, but I've seen studies that say sobriety is actually going up among younger generations. They're drinking less and engaging in fewer risky activities across the board than people like us were when we were their age.
Yeah, Gen Z is the most, they're the most sober, the most sexually pure, the most like lowest drug usage, everything. Gen Z coming up is like
losers.
Let's just say maybe they were watching previous generations and the mistakes that they made, and maybe they're learning from it. But yeah, losers would be another way.
There's two sets of data out there.
Yeah. How do you go to, how do you sleep at night is what I want to know for all these people. How are you able to stop the voices? These are all questions I have, but I'm all about answering.
How do you dull just the constant roar of I'm insecure. I need people to like me. I need people to think I'm cool. I got to go to more parties. You can't just turn those off.
All right. In case you missed it, it was announced this week. It's official. A Breaking Bad movie is actually happening. Vince Gilligan's crime universe is continuing to expand. The Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad creator announced this week that he's working on a new film based on the Breaking Bad story. It's unclear what characters will be involved, but Bryan Cranston told Dan Patrick this week that he wanted to be in the movie and that it closes some storylines left open when the series ended. Bryan said, there's a lot of people who felt that they wanted to see some kind of completion to some of these storylines that were left open, and this idea, from what I'm told, gets into these, at least a couple of the characters who were not completed as far as their journey. So there you go.
How do we feel about Breaking Bad, because I was a big fan of how Breaking Bad ended. I was very skeptical about Better Call Saul, but it's ended up being a really terrific TV Phenomenal. Show that I like a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
So are we like, has he won sort of our like cautious endorsement of continuing to expand the Breaking Bad cinematic universe, or
is it going to be Entourage?
Yeah, exactly.
I trust him. I mean, honestly,
I know.
If you look at Breaking Bad, if you look at the first two seasons, he thought it was going to be a dark comedy. Like he's talked about this. When he pitched the show, he wrote the show as a dark comedy, which is why he got the dad from Malcolm in the Middle to play the lead. He thought it was just going to be like a messed up dark comedy. And then they figured out halfway through cinematography and the acting chops of the cast and, you know, where the storyline inevitably started to go. No, we've got one of the most gripping dramas in TV history on our hands. And if you look at the show in season five from season one, it's a completely different thing. He continued that trajectory with Better Call Saul, in my opinion. I mean, it hit the ground running where Breaking Bad left off. And I totally trust him with the film. I think it'll be great.
Yeah. Had Better Call Saul not been so good, I'd be nervous about this.
I agree.
But Better Call Saul was, I think, in some ways better than Breaking Bad. And so it's like, well, what are you going to do?
It didn't take 2.5 seasons to figure out what it was. And that's why I think it's like maybe superior.
I treated Better Call Saul the same way I treated Parks and Rec, where when the first few shows didn't do anything for me, I was out. And then y'all tell me, you should watch Parks and Rec. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
And I don't get back on board because the first season didn't do anything for me.
Well, I mean, Seinfeld was that way. Parks and Rec was that way. And some of these shows just take a couple seasons to find its legs and it becomes one of the best things in TV history. I mean, Parks and Rec is up there with 30 Rock, Seinfeld.
I'm going to, Cameron.
It's pretty rare for a show to actually come out of the gates with its general vibe figured out and sort of immutable, and two, just being as good as it's ever going to get. I can't think of many shows where from the pilot on, I was all in.
Mm. That's the only one I can
Which one?
Bob's Burgers.
I thought you said Wahlburgers.
I thought he did too. I was like, you're right, Chandler.
It knew what it was out the gates.
They were on brand from day one.
But don't you want that in your art? Don't you want it to evolve? Don't you want it to like stay fresh
but
and
I also
keep
think
moving?
I want my art to evolve, but I want to like it. I want to like the version of it at the start. I don't want to have to like sit through a whole season of something and go like, well, it's going to evolve into something that I love. You know, like, I don't know.
I mean, Parks and Rec personified the arc or the evolution of it is personified in the character of Chris Pratt. I mean, like he was just this horrible boyfriend who was so stupid. He fell in the pit. And then if you look at him at the end of the show, like he's just a totally different character, you know, Andy. So, I mean, to me, that's the show. I mean, Chris Pratt's evolution, his character's evolution or transformation maybe is how the show transforms.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine is another one that right out the gates was, they knew what they were doing.
They knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
Oh, but, that's a good word.
But something to be said for, it kind of stayed there.
The same people. That's true. But it was also the same people who made Parks and Rec. So they, you know,
they
already had their experience.
Well, there's your Better Call Saul coming after Breaking Bad. Yeah, we know what we're doing now.
Right.
And the next show hits the ground running.
Yeah.
You know what was hard about Parks and Rec, because I just went back and started it again because I haven't seen it since it was originally on the air, is that it gets really when it starts to get really funny. There's also a long story arc with Louis C.K. and Aziz Ansari.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm enjoying these jokes, but it's a little hard to see these guys. It's like it was very weird, very weird how that kind of changes so drastically over time.
I thought 30 Rock, you know, again, I haven't maybe watched the first few episodes in a while, but I mean, I don't recall it taking a while to catch itself. I mean, the banter's there. Alec Baldwin's there. It's pop, pop, pop. You know, the jokes are tight from right out the gate from my memory.
Perfect Strangers.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Full House. From day one. Full House, we knew it was happening. That first episode of Full House is actually one of the best ones.
Yeah. Wishbone came out of the gates with a talking dog who reads your literary classics and his human friends, his human companions who have adventures that sort of mirror some plots in those literary classics. That is a blueprint that served it well for season after season and has aged like wine.
Downton Abbey, masterpiece, day one.
Oh, Downton Abbey. We've never talked about that. That's wonderful television.
Well, before you were on the show, I did a pretty long arc of talking about Downton Abbey, and you
I've
could
never
tell
seen it.
That I had alienated the whole podcast crew and audience.
Well, Jesse and I have never seen it, so it was like, cool.
Have you watched it now, Cameron?
No.
Why would I? I watched the first couple seasons.
Really?
Yeah, there you go, Chandler.
Were you watching it by yourself or with a lady friend?
No, by myself.
What?
Yeah. I wanted a new show to get into, and that was like the one that I could
Where's
think
Chandler?
Of.
It's Saturday night. Where's Chandler? He's home watching Downton Abbey by himself.
Yeah, are you seriously roasting your brother for watching television?
No, but
by himself at his house? Which is what you do 6 nights out of the
week.
Yeah,
but not Downton Abbey. I mean,
there are worse shows, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, not Downton. Oh, so Real Housewives is better? All right. Got it. Mm-hmm. Got it. Now I'm understanding. Good,
great Real point, Housewives Annie. is America's Downton Abbey as well.
Oh, my God.
Hillsong, Downton Abbey, and Thai Takeout.
Lord. Eddie, I'd like to pitch a relevant podcast spinoff in which I've never seen Downton Abbey, but I will go through it one episode at a time, and I will recap it with you, my Downton Abbey guide. We'll call it Downton Eddie, and you can be the sort, and I'll just like bounce ideas. Here's where I think it's going, and you kind of give me like, getting warmer, getting colder about the prediction.
Do this, whether we record it or not, I just want to be on the call because this is the content I am looking for in my life.
Downton Annie works just as well. Literally, it's still there. Yeah, so we can even go back and forth.
Yeah. Downton Annie needs to happen. Yeah.
I'm going to just tell you, your heart is going to be torn up by the Lady Mary. I mean, it's hard to talk about.
Lady Mary's storyline is more than any of us were prepared for emotionally.
You know that. You know that.
If I had a heart left after the end of Wishbone, which really closed his entire arc, I would agree with you. But shredded past repair.
I'd say we're not losing much ground without Jesse right now. This seems like one normally would happen if he was here.
All right. Well, that'll do it for In Case You Missed It. Stay tuned. Up next, Mark Wahlberg joins us. You're listening to Loud Forest. The song is Hold On. At the beginning of the podcast, you heard Mainland with Hometown. In the brand new issue of Relevant, which is out now, if you haven't gotten yours, contact us at support@relevantmagazine.com.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. What a very specific...
Let's find a shorter email address.
What? How? What? help@relevantmagazine.com? I guess that would work. We can do that. Yeah. Hold on. Now I got to set that up real quick. Hold on.
Who would ever go to help at? Oh, I see. Everybody.
Got her. Oh, yeah.
Consider. What would I do? I help? What's up? Oh, that's actually great. Thanks. Dang it.
Good luck recovering from that burn, Annie.
Yeah. Well, in the new issue, which you should have if you're a subscriber, we spoke at length with actor Mark Wahlberg about how his faith is at the center of everything he does and is an important part of his very busy daily schedule. This weekend, he also stars in the new comedy Instant Family that looks at the importance of adoption and the foster care system. Here is part of our conversation with Mark Wahlberg.
Oh boy.
I feel like this has probably been something you've talked about a lot, but your schedule seemed chaotic based on the viral post you did about your schedule, waking up at 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah, I'm tired right now. Got up today at 2:30 and had a workout and did the whole thing. I'm pretty beat right now, but got the rest of the day to go. So.
Is that is that schedule a pretty regular part of your life, or is that just when you're training for movies?
Right now, no, it's just for work. I mean, I do whatever I need to do to prepare. So this particular movie that I'm doing, I'm trying to get in the best shape that I possibly can. So I'll do this maybe till about Christmas time, if everything moves ahead according to plan.
Has this level of discipline, just being a hard worker, has that always been a part of your life, or did you kind of have to learn, like, to teach yourself how to be as disciplined as it seems like you are?
No, I think, I realized pretty early on that I was very fortunate, and you know, I had an opportunity and I didn't want to do anything to mess it up, so I always wanted to be the most prepared and do the best possible work that I could.
Based on just your interactions, the people you've been around, and in all the industries you've been in, do you feel like that's sort of a unique trait to you?
Yeah, I mean, I wish more people were more disciplined and more prepared. For some people, you know, they have maybe a bit of a sense of entitlement. For others, they're willing to work really hard and not really getting the opportunity. So it was one of those things where I just felt like, you know, I was very fortunate to get an opportunity and I was going to take full advantage of it and, you know, work as hard as I possibly could.
You're according to that schedule, you wake up, the first thing you do when you wake up is take time for prayer. That's something that I've been trying to do more of, and I just feel like I'm really bad at it. I get distracted, or I don't even know what to pray about. For people who are trying to just be more disciplined, especially with regards to their spiritual lives, what tips do you have?
Well, I think, again, for me, it's just the best way to possibly start the day. You know, everybody's asleep. It's really quiet. So I just start with a reading. You know, once I've read, I kind of think about what I was reading. And then there's so many things that I think about, that I pray about, you know, especially those that are less fortunate, those that don't have God in their life. And then all the responsibility that I have, you know, as a husband, as a father, you know, there are a lot of things that I need help and guidance. And, you know, I think just taking that time, whether it's meditating, praying, you know, whatever you want to kind of file it under, it's just, for me, it's the best possible way to start the day. How do you figure, you know, lock in on what's important, what I need to focus on, and then... and especially express my gratitude. Mm-hmm. And then from there, you know, I just kind of go out and try to conquer the day.
What do you read?
I have a 365 day a year devotional book that actually, first time I got one, I think it was probably about maybe 8 or 9 years ago, and it comes from the Philippines.
Oh, really?
But it's a Catholic book, yeah. And it, it's something that now, this is like, of all the things that my wife wants to get me for Christmas, she knows that's the one thing that I have to have before the end of the year to be able to start fresh on the first of the year and not miss a day. So 365 days a year in prayer.
There's sort of this the stereotype about Hollywood that it'll chew you up and spit you out, especially your principles, that it the industry just goes through people who come in with a really strong moral compass, with a really strong spiritual compass, and it's not a healthy environment for those people. Has that been your experience?
No, I don't think so. I mean, if you get caught up in the whole world of nightlife and all that stuff, partying, you know, I mean, that could happen anywhere. That could happen at a college campus in middle America. I mean, that can happen anywhere. You know, I think, you know, I'm allowed to kind of go and do exactly what I want, how I want to do it with my personal life and my spiritual life. And, you know, as long as I kind of show up on time and do a great job and, you know, make sure that the projects that I'm a part of are successful, then, you know, people will continue to hire me. And, you know, I think there's obviously, there's a connection with audience and people of, you know, Christian faith and people as a whole that can kind of relate to me and identify with me and you know, feel that I'm more authentic in what I do with my professional job and, you know, who I am as a person. So I don't think so. I think LA could be a very bad place if you're out at night and you're getting into all that stuff, but, you know, getting up in the morning and starting my day off in prayer and, you know, going to play, work out, play golf, and come home and spend time with my family, you know, it's good weather and it's pretty nice. But you could get caught up in that lifestyle anywhere these days, you know.
I want to ask you a little bit about Instant Family. We've got a lot of readers who are Christian, take their faith seriously. Very rewarding, and it's exciting to see like depictions of your faith, even if it's not explicit, but things that you agree with and can support on screen. It seems to me like Instant Family meets that. What do you think this movie would have for those people?
Oh God, you know, family is the most important thing. You know, this movie is about love and acceptance and helping people who need help. And, you know, in a time where families are being pulled apart, it's nice to know that, you know, there are people out there who are out there helping people and trying to connect with people and invite people and making sure that, people feel that they're included in this big kind of extended family. But, you know, we have a lot of kids that are out there in foster care and need loving, supporting parents. And, you know, it's a funny movie. It's heartfelt. It's a lot of things, but it's something that people need right now, you know, something that's really positive and makes people feel good.
That was Mark Wahlberg. Go check out Instant Family. It releases today. Also, make sure to read the feature profile we do on him in the brand new issue of Relevant, available now.
And if there's any issues with your magazine, go to please help me find my magazine subscription at relevantmagazine.com/.
Why hasn't my magazine come in the mail at relevantmediagroup.org?
Yeah. Yes.
We just set up different email addresses for every conceivable issue. There's a staple missing in the binding of my issue of Relevant Magazine at Relevant Media Group.
My address changed, but the apartment number is different. Can you help me at Relevant magazine.com.
More like Irrelevant Magazine at Relevant Media Group.
No.
People get y'all with that a lot. That's a repeated roast y'all get.
All right.
Very old.
Hurts every time.
Stay tuned. Up next, your feedback.
Wake up, pray up, stay up. Wake up, pray up, stay up. Wake up, pray up, stay up. Wake up, pray up, motivate the trenches. We got them woke. Streets winning. We give them hope. Motivate the trenches. We got them woke. Streets winning. We give them hope.
It can be hard to figure out fair pay for church staff. All too often, it's subjective. Which is why we created Church Salary, a new online tool that helps churches determine fair pay levels. With Church Salary, you can quickly determine a fair salary for any role, evaluate the impact church location may have on pay, and generate informative reports for each position in your church. Leave the guesswork behind when it comes to determining pay. Visit churchsalary.com today.
And I got a ride shotgun. Ain't no fun when you ghost ride. Tell the mayor I'm going slide. In the city, my co-pilot. Nothing but a little more mileage. You don't want the type of smoke I let.
You're listening to T Grizzly. The song is Wake Up, featuring Chance the Rapper. Very encouraging hip hop right there. Okay, it's time for your feedback. Last week, we were talking about the Pete Davidson thing, SNL thing, and we asked you, what are some things you've done or said that you've later had to apologize for? The only reply I saw was somebody saying, I don't apologize if I'm wrong about something, I double down. You know, like,
yeah, I thought someone was quoting Jesse.
Yeah, I've seen that Jesse one a Carrick. Few times. Yeah. And apparently you guys don't like to publicly talk about things you've done that were so horrible you had to apologize for them. And
maybe
then
think about what that says about you. Everybody.
Yeah, have really good stories. Yeah, apparently not. All
apparently right. People are a little more shy about their horrible, horrible things that they've said. So what I was thinking we could do, instead of outing your horrible, you know, apology necessary things that you've done, is take advantage of the fact that Eddie's here and do a modified Ask Jesse and do an Ask Eddie. You guys have been sending in a lot of life questions. We have a certified counselor on the show today. And we thought, why not lob some of your Ask Jesse questions?
So
to
are
Eddie.
You inviting the certified counselor Eddie to answer this? Yes. Or are you inviting our Eddie to answer this?
Yeah, because there's a lot of curiosity because I really, really feel like I'm not that good a counselor. So
I just want to know whether I can sit back and let this be because the counselor Eddie is who you've invited, or if I need to be alert and attentive.
You need to be alert and attentive. So let's do this. Okay. With combining the two names, it's Ask Andy. Ask Andy. All right.
I'm into it.
So you guys hit us up.
I am just not going to be part of this.
No, we don't need your feedback.
You can mute out your microphone and go do whatever you do in Nashville.
Okay. I'm not even sure you're still here.
All right. Ask Andy. Taylor Rogers wrote us and tweeted us and said, I'm a freshman at a mid-sized Christian university, and I have a huge crush on a guy who doesn't know I exist. What should I do to meet him and get his attention?
I actually wrote this one, so I'm going to pay attention.
That was a great one.
Well, it's interesting because, and first of all, good job going to a mid-sized Christian university.
Yeah, you don't want the big ones.
Big ones are hard to get into. The small ones are a bubble. You just want to be right in
the meaty part of the curve. Yeah.
Yeah, just nice and indecisive. You can skip chapel. No one knows. Well done going to the school you go to.
Yeah.
Annie just texted me what I should say. But I'll say that to quote Annie, I would absolutely just text into a podcast, see if they will answer your question. Then take this podcast and just find subtle ways to play it very publicly. So maybe you guys are all in the quad together. You're hanging out there. Your guy's sitting there playing guitar.
For sure, he is.
I lift your name. You know, he's doing the thing and the group is around him. And it's a mid-sized Christian
university. He's for sure doing So Will I.
Well, it is a mid-sized Christian university. Are you sure that's a mid-sized song?
Ooh, maybe. I don't know. Lord, I Lift Your Name on High sounds like the bubble-sized Christian university.
That's right. So because it's a mid-sized, and I would just play this podcast everywhere you go, and maybe, just maybe, your fellow will hear it. Annie, would you agree with me that she should never talk to him directly? forward? She should never use her God-given voice.
Last week, I told somebody, just go ask him out. So, yeah, I'd agree with you. Just stay quiet. Just stay quiet. Stay away.
Yeah, very silent.
Just let him figure out that you might have feelings and stay as far away as you can, and he'll sort it out and he'll find his way to you. Just terrible advice that we were given all the way through growing up.
Right. Because if there's anything we know about college age Christian guys, it's that they are really, really, they're really forward about being brave and talking about how they feel.
And real perceptive of women who are interested in them when they give no signals.
Real take charge types.
Right. They're not spiraling in their own feelings about predestination and how it's all working out and da, da, da. They're going to understand, hey, there is this incredible person on the other side of the quad. I'm going to go up and ask this person if they want to go get a cup of coffee. So I would just wait and wait and wait.
Wait, I'm sorry. Did you just call Joshua Harris? Did Joshua Harris just beep in and give us that advice? Because that's what it sounds like.
College Christian guys have really mastered the art of look at her until she looks at me and then look away and then hope she's braver than I am.
That's so
sorry. It was a delayed laugh, but that was perfect.
That hurts.
But I would say my initial instinct for you was go up, chat with them like a normal person, ask them to hang out, see if they want to spend some time with you. Don't divulge all your feelings right away. Just be normal and ask them to hang out. And then I thought to myself, no. Don't do that. Just make it real, real weird. So play the podcast publicly and see if he picks up on it.
Do a Shawshank thing where you put it over the speakers of the entire campus. Just play it and he'll get it.
Yeah.
He's really answering from the Annie side and the Jesse side, which is exactly what we need from you, Eddie. So keep on.
I'm channeling Jesse a little bit. I want to make sure that his voice is always really represented because this is his segment. I want to do him proud.
Alexis Lynn Ellis asks, there are so many creative ideas out there for promposals, but do you have any creative suggestions for how to break off a promposal?
Wow.
These are
equal
size, guys.
Equal, Eddie. This is a equal, equal moment.
Yeah. I feel initially the Lord telling me, be passive. And this may be lowercase L for Lord, but I would say block on Facebook, block on all social media, return no calls, don't make eye contact with the person.
But a promposal is they are high school students. They go to the same school, I assume.
Doesn't matter.
So you can ghost them after school, but you're going to run into the dude in the hall.
I say if he made a poster, you make a poster. If he drew on sidewalk chalk, you draw on sidewalk chalk. If he baked a cake, you bake a cake. You go hequel shequel on this one and break it up the same way he put it together.
Oh, that's so terrible.
Do you know these promposals, though? Can we talk for real for a second? Are nuts.
Yeah.
Like, what on earth? Like, it's all just mock marriage. So this is the, like, it wasn't enough that you just had to awkwardly figure out. You had to walk up to a locker and say, like, hey, will you go to prom with me? That was already the most terrifying thing in the world that you had to do in the normal days. Now it's a whole to do. Like, why are we doing this?
It's got to be a viral. It's got to show up on like Kimmel, or it was a failure.
Right.
It's so much pressure.
Everything is like, everything's a thing, right? That's my podcast. Everything's a thing.
Baby That's announcements. That's a great podcast.
Yeah. Gender reveal.
Everything's a thing.
It's a 50-50 shot of the 20 billionth person born in like the last 15 minutes. Like, of course it's going to be a boy or a girl. Who cares what color the balloons are? Mm-hmm, we knew what was coming.
I wish the request to ask Eddie to come back on the podcast had been a big viral situation. I wish there'd been some sort of, it'd been a moment.
Like a promposal for him to come back
like
on this.
Balloons or I don't know, like a jet, you hire a jet to spell it out in the clouds with the,
I don't know, Tyler, there were literally threes or fours of tweets out there asking me not to come back.
But to be fair to you, Eddie, that was all from the same one or two people. So
I have my fan. Don't downplay this. Yeah, I have a person or two.
Three or four tweets from one or one people.
Again, my gut told me initially for this person to walk up and just speak honestly to the person that's going to do the promposal and say like, I don't want you to go out on a limb here. I don't want you to embarrass yourself. I feel like I'm not going to go to prom
with you.
It's already
done, right, Cameron, based on what she said?
It sounded like the promposal happened, and now she's trying to like get out of it. You know?
Which also, hello, it's November. Why are we promposaling? I'm out on this. I'm so out on this.
Well, I don't know. I messed up the question. She just has to do a no-prosal. So it's exactly what... It's just double down on how embarrassing and
That's
say no
said.
Very,
Equal
very
sheeple.
Publicly. Again, maybe playing this podcast loudly. hey, promposal guy. My name is Eddie. I'm on the Relevant podcast. She's not going to go to prom with you. I am so sorry. You need to ask someone else a little bit more in your range because I think you're batting. Ooh,
he overshot his coverage. Yeah.
Yeah.
Annie, would you agree that there's the potential... that sometimes these big, really dramatic, like on the basketball court, ask people to marry you or a promposal situation puts the pressure on the girl to say yes or the guy to say yes when they maybe would rather say they would have said no if they didn't have the eyes of the world watching them at the moment.
Yes, 100%. It is. You will say yes to any public proposal, prom or pro, either one.
Carol didn't to Mike Scott at the Dali Festival. Remember? He got up on the mic and Mike.
Oh,
right. I do remember that.
Michael Scott was going to propose to Carol.
Oh, that's
and she's
right.
like, no, don't. She was dressed as a cheerleader. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's the, like, you don't want to say no on the, like the big cam at the Cub Stadium.
Right.
You don't want to say no in front of like his friends and family who just finished their choreographed dance to some, like, I don't know, Backstreet Boys song. So it just seems like such a weird thing to do.
Did any of y'all do a public proposal?
Oh, no.
No.
We were
no.
in public, but it wasn't like a thing.
No. Yeah. Everybody's got to have a photographer now and a whole thing.
Videographer. You got to have a post party. Yeah,
listen, I was at the Magic game last week, and the person on my row, like during a timeout, he got on a knee, and there was a camera there and all this stuff. They threw it on the big screen, and then at the end, the PA announcer for the arena is like, and the replay says, she says yes. Ooh, and everybody cheers, and I'm
so
like,
corny.
She... was not having it. She said yes, but was like
Cameron.
Ticked at him. You could tell. like this was his dream, not hers. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And I mean, I got to say, so some people are going to like social media at us and say like, oh, we did a big public thing and my wife loved it or my husband loved it.
Sure.
And that's great. There are people some people are that different. Just like, you can just tell. But if I had done something big in public like that with Brianne, it would have just embarrassed her. She would have just not liked it. You got to know your person. Yeah. And it's not just like, so ours was very, very private. It was just at a Burger King in the middle of Arizona.
Correct.
you know, we were sitting there and it was, you could still smoke back then and you just smoking in a Burger King.
Yeah, very
nonchalantly.
That's worked really, that's been great for you. It worked out. So.
And we're still rocking and rolling.
Okay, here's a question. Lauren Rebecca is asking Andy.
Is it Lauren or Rebecca?
It's Lauren Rebecca. Every one morning,
word hyphenated.
That's her first and last name. Lauren Rebecca.
Oh, she has a first name for, she has a last name for a first
or
name.
Or she just, her Twitter name is written Lauren space Rebecca and her at is Lauren, at Lauren Rebecca.
Oh, interesting.
So, anyway.
I bet that's her middle name, but we'll just get her to follow it's, up
this
with
is going to have something to do with the answer. I can feel it. Go ahead, Lauren.
Go ahead.
Every morning, I wake up and sneeze about 12 times. It's starting to ruin my friendship with my roommate, and I fear it will prevent me from ever getting married. I've tried everything.
Wow.
What do I do?
Oh, wow. I miss Jesse right now.
This is broad.
First of all, I think your fears are founded.
and I would say for sure he won't marry you.
You'll never find love.
Honorable to live a life of being single. And I would say lean into that hard. Any other questions? Or is that it?
I want to hear Cameron and Huck. Y'all answer this one. What does she do?
Oh, interesting.
Will her 12 sneezes keep her from getting married?
I don't know.
That is pretty annoying. I mean, why can't you just go ask your doctor? I mean, this is, I'm sure there's a pill.
That's about 9 out of 10 questions we get. My first thought is, why didn't you just go ask?
Just ask
professional?
A professional.
This is she wanted the Jesse opinion, and I'm sure he would have some very good advice. Like I can't even. I can't.
Jesse
I'm not
wants
even gonna
you to
try.
Put something
I'm not gonna
in
try.
Your nose. Jesse for sure wants you to put something weird in your nose.
Oh yeah. Jesse would have you sneeze into something that generates electricity or
something, so that it's very practical.
Like,
they would use this.
It's hard because there's some people you can kind of channel what they're going to say. Like, I feel like Annie, you and I could guess each other pretty well. Like, it kind of, you know, Jesse, it's impossible to know.
It's the best part about him.
It is impossible to know what he's thinking.
Yeah.
Really, ever. I think it is worth, there's just some fundamental issues. It's like adults that have braces. If you sneeze 12 times, we've talked about the adults with braces thing. If you're still so sneezing soft. 12 times as an adult, I have some just strong questions about what's going on with you.
Like, what's in your room? My question is in your room?
Or what's it behind the walls? Like, there might be some mold back there.
Oh, that's very Cameron. That's a very Cameron answer.
Is there a cat behind the walls?
Is there a cat behind the walls?
How have you
How
gotten
much
this?
Is it going to cost to take down these walls and rebuild them? That's
we gotta get to the source here.
Here's my honest feeling is that when you fall in love with somebody, initially, all those things that they do that you find to be sort of irritating about yourself, the other person is like, it is so cute how, you know, like those first, it's so like,
sneezing.
Oh, I love the way she, every morning she wakes up and chew.
And
like,
he's counting it. One, two,
goes, 12,
three.
Just, that's
Lauren
my
Rebecca.
Girl.
Yeah. Oh.
So if you can get married before that wears off, and it will wear off, but if you can lock it down before that wears off, then I don't think there's any reason to worry.
No, if she's a good Christian girl, he won't know about the morning sneezes until after the wedding.
I mean, he might hear it come from across the hall.
And if he's a good Christian guy, he will wake up before she does and have his quiet time, so he won't even hear the sneezes.
Exactly.
He'll be praying in his prayer closet.
He'll be listening to Hillsong Wake Up at 6 a.m. so I can read the morning paper too loud.
go stay at a hotel for a few days. See if it's your apartment or you. And if it's your apartment, just know that you need to move when you get married.
God almighty, just go to Lauren Rebecca, just go to an allergist. Like, you've got allergies. You're allergic to down. You like your down pillow. You have allergies.
That's it. What if it is purely that she is allergic to her down pillow? And like, if you're worried you're bothering your roommate, ask your roommate. Doesn't she live there?
The problem, though, and I hate to get into Jesse territory, it's the 12 sneezes. It's the fact that it's a predictable number of sneezes makes me wonder if it's some sort of like internal coding mechanism to restart or to wake up the trackers or something. You know what I mean?
Psychosomatic.
My grandpa sneezed in sevens. Rest him.
Ooh, amen.
He sneezed in sevens.
Lucky. I love when things happen in sevens.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
12.
It was very
that's like
irritating,
a sneeze per disciple. I'm not into that. That's too much, Lauren Rebecca.
Although my guilt is getting the best of me. We have to say, Lauren Rebecca. sneezing 12 times is not going to prevent you from being loved. So let's just don't worry about
that.
See,
this is why. This is why I knew I could sit back, Cameron.
I know.
Because Eddie's little black heart beats once every 45 minutes.
It's like a little grinch.
It takes one beat and he says the true thing so that she feels loved and seen.
Oh, yeah. Well, you just don't want her to actually. I mean, you just don't know. There's like, there was just a moment where I'm like, there is a 20-year-old woman sitting in a dorm right now weeping because these idiots have said, oh, you're never going to be loved and whatever. No, your 12. I care about your 12 sneezes only for medical reasons, but you're going to be fine. You don't need to
come in from
that.
A real place. There could be, maybe she had a breakup where it's like, I just can't do the sneeze thing. I just get, you're a great girl. I like you, but God did not call me to put up with a sneezer my whole life. And,
right.
and I want Lauren Rebecca to know that I stand by it. It wasn't the right decision for us to make, but I do wish you well. And you're a very lovely person, and I'm sure you'll find someone to make you very happy.
Lauren Rebecca, find a guy that carries a handkerchief and you're going to be just fine. Okay. Don't worry about a thing.
Emily Christine asked, she says, my boyfriend.
Why do you keep pulling double name girls today?
That's what they're doing on Twitter these days. I don't know. My boyfriend and I have been dating for 2 years. While we 100% intend to get married one day, we're still young and don't want to rush down the aisle. How do we fend off pesky extended family members who will be pressuring us to put a ring on it this holiday season?
Hard answer.
Edward? Edward or Eddie?
Hard answer. Two years they've been dating, huh?
But two years. If it's 2 years and they're 19 or if it's 2 years and they're 34 are two very different things.
Still young. That's all it says is we're still young.
Yeah, I'd say I'm still young.
I would say I think I like the opposite approach. Instead of figuring out how to explain it, I would lean into it because they're expecting you to push back or to be a little bit awkward or to give some explanation.
Right.
But I would every time Aunt Mary says, so is this year going to be the big year or do you have any New Year's resolutions? I would just look at her and say, yeah, we're going to get married soon. It is really important to us to stop this dating relationship because we know that we are living outside of what God wants for us. And we need to get married in order to be fulfilled. And then I would just look at him and never blink.
What if she went all in and she just went, yeah, we're going to get married and then we are going to have kids and then we will buy a house and then we will pick a preschool. And just went ahead and knocked out the next 15
years.
Before
next Thanksgiving.
It is so important to us to take the feedback from our family members and really apply it to something as sacred as marriage. Right. And you know what? Thank you for the feedback. Yeah, we're getting married this year. We will let you know when it happens.
Right.
Thank you.
Aunt Mary, are you ordained? Because if so, we can do this right now.
Yeah, Aunt Mary is totally an Episcopal. Yeah.
Alex Lyon asks, both my parents and my wife's parents are coming to our house for Thanksgiving. I mean, it's very timely. Mm-hmm. Any advice on how to survive?
I mean, I would try to start disassociating from your parents. I would try to shut up. If I would cut off that relationship. I mean, if you're in your early 20s, it's inevitable. No. I would slowly start to walk away and I would stop returning their phone calls and not invite him over. Annie, did you have something different to say? What else is he supposed to do? We're talking to Al Lyon over here. What is he going to do?
Al Lyon.
You tell
me. I think you probably just make sure everybody has plenty of space. That's the sensible answer. Just give everybody space. Let everybody have permission to be themselves. Let people go on walks alone. Let people go shopping.
But what if Annie, you know, what if the father-in-law is a bigot and he starts talking about, you know, politics?
Yeah.
And then the other one's like on the other side of the aisle. And then you're the peacemaker. I mean, you can't just say, go on a walk, dad. You know, you just like, you know, like there's tension in the conversation.
Yeah, that's true. I am assuming everyone's an adult. And that is not always the case when families get
together. When families get together, exactly. Yeah, especially you're right. Blended. Because, like these are two families that don't know each other.
I can walk away because I'm a grown up and just be fine eventually. But that's because we're all grown ups. Ish.
Yeah, I mean, like if the two in-law parents don't like get see eye to eye about stuff, I mean, you know, then the young married couple is kind of like the peacemakers. And
like, I wonder if this is one of those stories where the two kids who got married are both only children. To have both sets of parents coming to this one house, they're like only children and this is their parents' whole lives.
I would say to Al Lyon, I would start planning escapes immediately. So purposefully like don't tunnels? Buy things, all of that. I mean, just every, both logical and illogical escapes. So okay. Logical, sorry, forgot the mix for the gravy. Be right back. You're out of there.
That's a good one.
Out of there.
I would say 1 hour. I would get into a game on your phone, right? Maybe download Toon Blast. Really great game. A lot of fun. Get into that, right? Yeah. Escapism. I would feign an illness. Oh, I'm sorry. I'll be right back. Go and spend a half hour in the bathroom.
You could watch all six seasons of The Wire.
What? Go watch The Wire.
Yeah.
So in a just kind of in closing, Alex Lyon, I would say what we've come up with
Alex the Lyon, Eddie. It's Alex the Lyon.
I believe Alex Lyon is his name. Yeah. It's, I would say, avoidism, escapism, and Netflix. Yeah. It seems to be where we've... So good luck with the holidays.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. All right, last one for Ask Andy. Harrison Brock asks, what's the best piece of advice you've ever been given? Best piece of advice.
I'm just letting this one ride. Letting it ride.
Yeah, that's a great question because I haven't been given a lot of advice because I think it's pretty clear that I don't want to receive advice and I don't like being told.
Wouldn't your counseling professors have given you like wisdom and tips?
You know, I've gotten wisdom on like, you know, being married and stuff like that, you know, like outserve each other. That's a nice little tip in marriage and all that good stuff. Gosh, best piece of advice I've ever gotten. Annie, what do you think?
Interesting question. I want to hear everybody's thoughts on this.
Doesn't outserve each other only work if both of you are doing that? Because like if only one is, then it's a very, it's an unhealthy dynamic, right?
No, that is the thing. Outserve each other. Yeah,
it's like you can't tell the guy that, like, hey, buddy, here's the best husbanding advice ever. Outserve each other. Shouldn't it be like you're speaking to the couple together, right?
You are. Okay. Yeah, Ephesians 5. That's the whole thing with Ephesians 5 is like their job is to really be out serving of each other and to be in mutual submission to each other. That was the advice I got from our pastor on our wedding day. And it was actually really helpful in marriage because it put me in check.
Cause you can't be like, he said, submit to me. Cause he also told you to submit
both,
to her.
We're both in service to each other.
This is a weird path you're on there, Cameron.
I was just wondering.
It feels like something's getting a little bit less about me and maybe you got three fingers pointing at yourself, Cameron.
And then there was only one set of footprints left in the sand. Well,
that is the best.
Now the math is just getting confused.
You're like, God has feet? I mean, is that what we're to understand?
The Holy Spirit clearly floats. Haven't you seen a ghost? I mean, come
have
on.
We not? At most you could see like a cape, like the dragging tail
of a cape. Right. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Right. But it's certainly not going to be another set of footprints. I don't know. I hope you dance. That song inspired me a lot. And so I always dance wherever I'm at. I've heard that at a bunch of funerals and it always feels like the right thing. I don't know. I feel like
this question isn't going great. I'll be honest. This question is
Chandler. I see Chandler writing things down. He's just putting time notes of things to cut
is that
from
what
the
he
show.
Does to pull out to edit us?
Mental notes. Absolutely.
Yeah. I'd say Chandler just for the advice segment, I would go with, I would just cut it straight to two sets of footprints. Then I hope you dance and then into right now.
Got it.
Yeah, I don't have any great advice.
Back. Yeah, okay.
I would say the greatest advice I've ever received is what I'm about to say and listen to myself, which is don't listen to anybody. You are just, you do you. That's just, you go alone. Don't take any advice from anyone.
Thanks, <Thanks.
laughs> Annie.
Agreed. Advice is for the birds. Don't do it.
And I do think I can channel Jesse on this when he said probably the best advice he's ever received is definitely cross borders for illegal fireworks, because you're gonna want to get to a state that has a lot less regulation when it comes to fireworks. Yeah. I feel like that's probably his best advice.
Yeah.
I got knuckle tats that say never advise. So every time I make this in the mirror.
You have so many fingers.
The last thing people see right before I punch him in the face is like, I shouldn't have given this guy advice. He had it right. He couldn't have made it any clearer than he did.
There you go. Yeah. All right. Well, that was the debut and finale of Ask Andy.
Yeah, I would say that's fair. I think that's good advice, actually, is don't do that again.
That's the best piece of advice you've given today. Yeah,
I wouldn't make this bring that series to order, but it was good for a one time.
It's good to pilot it, you know, feel it out, see how the crowd reacts.
Hey, y'all are already saying first episodes need to have a little bit of grace because you don't know where the thing's going. I think that Eddie and I've really got a thing here.
That's true. That's true.
It's interesting. Well, now for our next episode, Annie, will you be in a West Elm storefront every time or will it just be for this one?
That is the highest compliment I've received all day. So thank you. I'll take it.
Hey, okay. It's time for this week's
editorial question of the week.
Okay. Well, we were just talking about some advice for, you know, awkward family Thanksgiving meals. This coming week is obviously Thanksgiving. So we want to know for this week's question of the week, your most memorable, awkward, uncomfortable Thanksgiving holiday family moments. Your crazy uncle or so-and-so said this or the proposal that happened in the middle of turkey. I don't know. Like there's a ring buried in the gravy. I don't know.
Right.
Like, that's good. I need those.
Just eating your mashed potatoes, you crunch on something. What's this? Pull it out. It's a ring.
Oh, that's awful. Yeah. We want those stories. Bring them.
The promposal that happened in front of her family, like they're all sitting down on Thanksgiving and he shows up with his big silly sign and a balloon,
and her dad's like, this is the worst part.
He's trying to herd a bunch of turkeys into, will you go to prom with me out on the yard, but turkeys don't herd, so they're just, it's just like 50 like turkeys wandering around.
Mitch is
like, dinner served, gets the rifle out, bam, starts shooting them all dead.
All right, so your most memorable family holiday or Thanksgiving particularly stories.
And if it's not awkward, it will not get read, so lean in.
Why?
Hit us up on Twitter at Relevant Podcast, or you can post your longer stories on this podcast episode page at relevantmagazine.com. Well, many thanks to Mark Wahlberg for joining us. Remember, his new film, Instant Family, is out today. Go check it out. Also, thanks to Bright Peak for making the episode possible. Remember, for their holiday survival guide, a resource, how to kind of make a plan and take control of your holiday spending, head over to relevantmagazine.com/loveandmoney to download the resource. It's great, helpful, and free. Hey, the Relevant Store, thinking about the holidays kicking off, Relevant Store is full of podcast fan merch. If you want to get a mug or a shirt or tote bag.
I mean, a mug that says, hello, good morning, gents. It's the best.
It's the best.
I haven't seen this whole thing yet. Did you get your catchphrase
really cool,
on a mug?
Actually.
store.relevantmagazine.com. Go check it out. We're updating it every week with new products and stuff for you, and there are special discounts and shipping deals for the holiday season. Go check it out, store.relevantmagazine.com. and if you have suggestions or ideas for merch you would like to see, just tweet us at Relevant Podcast and let us know.
I've got some ideas.
Hey, the new issue of Relevant is out now. We mentioned that earlier. If you want to read the Mark Wahlberg feature or the Lauren Daigle feature or any of the other great content, head over to relevantmagazine.com. Right now, you can view the digital issue. It's also available on newsstands. And you can subscribe now. When you're at the site, there's a great deal going on, not only for subscriptions, but also gift subscriptions. If you want to give Relevant as a Christmas gift, there's a good deal. It's the gift that keeps on giving, literally. It comes six times a year. All right. Well, on that note, we'll wrap things up. Eddie, this was fun, man. Thanks for joining us.
It was fun. Good to be home. Thanks, everyone. Yeah. And
Eddie, it's really good to see you.
It is. It's great.
It's fun.
I mean, you're no Jesse. Don't get me wrong. If I've got to pick one or the other, I'm for sure picking Jesse. But I'm glad to see you.
Oh, I'm picking Jesse. I would say the listeners are picking Jesse. Nobody thinks this is a good setup long term. But short term, somebody else has to be on the call. So here I am. And I feel fine with that. I'm a good substitute.
It's like this is like Thanksgiving dinner. It's like, oh, there's Uncle Pete. You know, we haven't seen him in a while.
Right.
Here
that's
he is.
Exactly right.
Uncle Eddie. Thank Love you. Him.
Everybody's like, man, I'm so glad he's here. It's fine that I don't see him more than this, but I'm glad he's here today.
This is good. Come back maybe next February. We'll do every couple of months. And I think we're good. Yeah, I gotta escape.
All right. I'm Cameron Strang.
I'm Chandler Strang.
I'm Tyler Huckabee.
I'm Annie F. Downs.
I'm Eddie Kaufholz.
We will see you on Tuesday. Have a good weekend, everyone. And I broke out.
Thank you for listening to the Relevant Podcast. If you like what you heard, be sure to leave us a review on iTunes. Check out other shows from the Relevant Podcast Network in the podcast section at relevantmagazine.com. And while you're there, browse exclusive podcast merchandise at our online store. Make sure to subscribe to Relevant Magazine. Info is available at relevantmagazine.com/subscribe. Relevant Podcast Network.